Dubai Eye
103.8. We're talking rent a little later on as well, a rent rant for you. And let's have a little look at salaries as well, with a new report out today suggesting that UAE salaries are evolving for a younger, more digitised workforce. All-inclusive packages now replacing traditional expatriate remuneration. Is that something that we might see when it comes to rents as well? Do we need to reassess the way we are paying our rents at the moment and have more all-inclusive approaches to the way we rent and how we rent and how we pay our rent? What else we got for you? We've got the Pope. He's on tour here in the UAE as of Sunday. Pope's tour, more on that later on in proceedings. So we've got Ollie Barrett in London, bring us the latest from the news, latest news from the UK and Europe. And we have a paper reviewer today who's, well, basically doing everything. He's going to do paper review, making tracks, back in business and building up for the weekend. Andre Gershel, man behind F&B outlets such as Baker and Spice and Kismet, will be joining us just after
12.
Then.
He said, she said, why don't you?
Call The Agenda on 04-871-5500 and join the conversation.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Join the conversation now. Contact us on the phone, 04-871-5500. Text on 4001. Shout really loud or download the Dubai Eye Messenger app and the ARN News app. Off to the ARN News Centre desk in just a few moments' time. Zina Zalameh is back with more updates.
Someone has very kindly helped me with the traffic report. Mohammed Al Suki, thank you for this. The tailback on Mohammed bin Zayed Road, or the E311, is reaching up to Global Village, starting from Sakim or Al Qudra Road intersection. Due to the accident, police removing the flipped truck now.
If there's anything you're seeing out there on the roads of the UAE, equally on the public transport systems, airports, it's a really nice day. It's very clear at the moment. I know that we're getting some weather reports coming in, which will feed into you between now and 1 o'clock. But at the moment, it's beautiful. It's one of those clear skies, one of those almost perfect skies here in the UAE. A good day for getting out and about later on today. So off to the ARN News Desk in just a few moments' time. In fact, we've got Serena Kelly with us here in studio. Good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
So
morning.
Serena joining myself and Zina. Serena, Zina and...
Tom.
Tom.
Rhyme, does it?
Could you change your name, Tom?
Yeah. What am I going to call?
Tamina.
Tamina. Okay, I'll be Tamina. There we are. We are going to talk all things news in just a few... Just a quick one to get off my chest. Have you ever lost something that's really, really... It's not, you know, not the most expensive thing or anything like that, but it's just annoying. Really annoying.
Are we talking sentimental here?
No, just annoying. I had one of those days yesterday where I just lost things. I lost a cufflink. How annoying is that?
Yeah.
You know, when you get to an event that you're doing and you've packed everything and you thought you had everything in hand, and then you've got one cufflink but the other one's disappeared, and I contrived to lose my tie as well. So I have one cufflink and a staple in the other cufflink and no tie. I looked like an absolute shambles.
That's really surprising with you as well, Tom.
A shambles.
Yeah, you're not like that.
So no. you can never use that one cufflink.
But that's what I mean. I put it back into my cufflink box a little earlier on today.
Of course.
Which sounds very posh. It's just a box. And I realised how many single cufflinks I've got in there. So unless I can start a trend where I can mix and match cufflinks, I've just got this.
People do that, though.
Do they?
Yes. What? Oh. You could do the same. Oh. It's like, you know how sometimes there'll be a flag on one and a symbol of something else?
Yeah.
Or people mix
and
match.
Or a knife and a fork.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you're actually part of the trend.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You don't want to be that do you, Tom?
It's very unnerving to me to
is
be
it,
part
it's
of
like
the
socks,
trend.
Though, isn't it? I didn't know cufflinks were, because everybody always
you
loses
don't wear
a sock.
Odd socks, though. That's just...
Yeah, but you lose socks, don't you?
Yes, you lose socks. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you're quite right. They sort of disappeared. They get eaten by...
The machine.
Machines, don't they? Let's get on to the news before we...
Really? This is Thursday.
Before we divulge any further. Let's talk rent if we can. Serena Kelly's got the latest on another rent story. In fact, this is something that is continuing from our conversation with the Business Breakfast.
That's right. So are you paying less rent now than you did last year? That is the question we're asking, because according to a new survey from Yalla Compare, that is the case for a quarter of UAE residents. However, more than 35% said they're paying more now than a year ago.
Double Z, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I did a quick poll on the Real Mums of Dubai Facebook page, 12,000 members, and a lot of them have said, yes, we managed to negotiate our rent down to 5K, 10K, 30K, and even the number of checks has changed. Before, landlords would take in one check for the entire year. Now you can pay them with four or six checks, and there's only one here, and I'm trying to get her on the phone, Adriana. She said there was no way we could negotiate a discount on our rent. We live in Falcon City, but most of them definitely, their rents have gone down.
Let's hear from those that are renting. Let's hear from the landlords as well. Let's continue this conversation. Let's hear from Sarah.
I recently moved from an older two-bedroom property into a newer two-bedroom so that I could take advantage of the decrease in rent. Now that the rents have fallen even more, I'm planning to move into a villa so that I can pay the same and get some more space and some greenery around me as well. When we move into a villa, we might even be paying less rent because in the last sort of 6 months, I've been keeping an eye on different villas and the price seems to be decreasing. At the moment, I live in the marina, which is quite expensive still, depending on which building you're in. But if you move a little bit further out, you can get so much more for your money.
Whoa. That was a thought from Sarah. So what Sarah's suggesting there is that you can now potentially find villas available here in Dubai cheaper than apartments.
Of course, Serena and I live in the Springs, and I think we pay less than those who live in the Greens.
Do we?
Yeah, I've asked a few people. Yes. Yes.
See, this whole negotiation thing of rent, I'm not sure if I actually fall into that category because there's that new souk mall that's opened in the Springs. Mm-hmm. And because of where I live, I'm walking distance from it. So I don't think my husband even bothered to check with the landlord to negotiate our rent because we were worried they would actually put it up because of the new mall. And so we're kind of just stuck where we are, really. Whereas if you don't ask, you don't get, do you?
If you don't ask, you don't get. But at the same time, there seems to be this culture of just asking anyway at the moment.
True.
Because things seem to be so liquid when it comes to rents and things. The trend that I seem to be noticing, and I know that we go to these research and these surveys and findings all the time, the trend seems to be location, location, location. Gone are the times that it's to do with the square footage of your property that you are staying in. If you want to live in the marina, then you're going to be paying a premium. If you want to live in downtown, you're going to be paying a premium. If you want to live a bit further out of town, you're going to get a better deal.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, taking into consideration where you go to work and where the kids go to school, you've got to stay, you know, you've got a vicinity of choice. And what I found is a lot of people don't want to leave that area. So they go, you know, two streets down or two buildings down and they manage to get cheaper rent.
I'd love to hear from you. How are things? But at the same time, before we get on to that, I mean, I take Sarah's point about, oh, isn't it quite nice that, you know, I'd be able to go, you know, upgrade to a villa now from an apartment, etc. I'm going to get more space. With that, though, do you take into account, you know, management fees, DEWA fees? If you've got more square footage in a property, you're going to be spending more on your bills, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. Especially housing fees, I think. Yeah.
I don't know, actually. Bigger. I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with that, Tom. I'm just playing, you know, devil's advocate here. No, but in the sense that I just feel...
It seems to make sense. If you've got a bigger house,
yeah,
and a garden and bits and pieces, your DEWA bill is going to be a lot larger than it would be on a one-bed, two-bed apartment.
Yeah, but then you can cut those. Like, I know people who have got fake grass instead of, so they don't have to maintain the garden. So technically, you know, the water bill of what they may have been paying in an apartment is probably the same. It hasn't really gone up. I mean, maybe I'm just trying to look at ways here, but I actually feel that, I don't know, for some reason, I feel you might be able to afford a villa a lot more than an apartment.
No, it's great. I mean, it's an aspirational thing, isn't it, to have more space. And as people, you know, marry and their families look to expand and everything, everyone's always aspiring to more space. I think that's a human trait, if you like. But I just wonder whether it adds up on paper these days. And if we're looking at rents per se at the moment, what you are renting, the thing that always fascinates me about this whole subject is it astounds me. The number of people, I don't know about you guys, we've been in the same place for 16 years now.
16?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time.
Which is very, very rare. And I think gone are those days that people just stick in. It astounds me the number of people that move so regularly because yeah. they're constantly looking for deals. So the idea of moving every year or maybe less than every 6 months, every 9 months, every couple of years is all good and well. But the stresses of moving anyway, the stress it puts on you, the cost it puts on you as well.
Yeah. Is it actually worth it by the time you've spent about 10 grand on moving your house?
Yeah.
What you save is it worth it?
You're arguing about, you know, 10 grand decrease or increase on your rent, and yet you're going to spend exactly that on the transfer of your goods to another property. Just a couple of observations on the rental market at the moment. Talking of observations, we've been out about asking residents. Here's what Walla had to say on it.
I had managed to get a rent way less than the one that I used to. So from 68k I used to pay for one bedroom. Now I'm paying 50,000, which is really a very good deal. And even it's in the same area. And I only moved to a newer building. So that was a really good deal for me.
The Agenda.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're on the old rent rant yet again here on The Agenda. What about Rick? What do you make of it? Upgrading, downsizing, finding your rent going down, finding your rent going up, landlords being immovable at the moment. Rick?
For the last 5 years, there is a trend. My rent went lower from 53,000 to 47,000. In a span of 5 years. And now we're planning to move back to Dubai, 43,000 for a two-bedroom hall with a slight difference in space.
Well, he's very forthcoming with lots of numbers and figures there. You obviously get paid far too much. Well done to you, Rick. So that was Rick, one of our colleagues here. How much longer remains to be seen on that sort of salary? But we will continue this conversation with regards to all things rent. We've been asking you for your thoughts. Are you upgrading? You're downgrading? How are you seeing things evolve? Let's get some thoughts on this one, Double Z.
Yeah, so we've got someone who texted in. By paying lower rent, your 5% of the rent that goes on top of your Diwa bill will decrease. And Raju says, I've actually stayed in the same apartment in Dera for the last 20 years. Wow. And we actually want to downsize to make bigger savings with villas getting cheaper in the area. That's from another texter.
Keep them coming in. 4001. Yeah, this is an interesting little line. How many of us have stayed in the same property for a long time? Is that still a trend? Or, as Serena and myself have just been discussing off air, there seems to be this FOMO in the rent market at the moment.
Yeah, it's almost like, oh, the grass is always greener. Am I missing out on, you just want that better deal. Mm. So it's going to encourage you saying, oh, this is going to work out better for us. It's worth it. Let's do it. And that's, you can put that across everything in life, really. It's not just rent and saving money. But I mean, you mentioned that you have been in your place for 16 years. When I grew up here, so when I was in school, We didn't move house. We stayed in the same house for probably roughly around about the same amount of time. Mm. And it's only since I'd like to think I'm an adult, but, you know, I've got kids and I've moved four times in the space of, like, you know, it's just ridiculous, like 6 years. And that's a lot, especially a lot for my kids to experience, I think, as well.
I mean, I think I'm first to admit that the landscape has changed. When we first moved here in 2000, quite a while ago, there weren't the options that are available now to people coming into the market. You know, there wasn't a marina. Mm. There was not a downtown Dubai. There was not, you know, any of this Knowledge Village, Media City sort of area that we're in at the moment. And therefore, you found a lot of people living in and around sort of Karama, Bur Dubai, the consulate area, as it was known back then. And then those that had a bit of cash were moving out to Arabian ranches and other places like that. So, yeah, there is certainly a lot more option now. I just wonder whether, in terms of finances, you're better off sort of riding the storm in the one property.
I was just about to say that, exactly. It's like, it's almost like, don't make the move just because, you know, it's economically viable at the time, because what goes up must come down. And the idea, you make that move and then all of a sudden you're moving back to where you were originally because all of a sudden rents have gone back up again.
That said, it must be very difficult when you look at it on paper and you go, okay, let's take a sort of, you know, this is obviously something that won't apply to everyone, but, you know, when you get to a point where you can rent a villa on the Palm Jumeirah for the same sort of rent that you're paying for a villa in one of the well-known villa developments around town, and you think, oh, hang on, several bedrooms on the Palm in Dubai with the beach, with access to the sea, etc. You can see how it sort of attracts you and draws you in.
It's tempting, but I wouldn't do it.
But then it's not taken into account the logistics of getting in on and off the Palm, the logistics and the costs of living on the Palm in the first place with all the service fees that you have to pay as well. So I think all these things have to be weighed up as the whole idea of rent evolves. And that's why I found this story in the National today interesting, because whilst we're having one discussion about rent, it is intrinsically linked to salaries. And an interesting money story in the National newspaper today by Alice Hain, headlined UA salaries evolving for a younger, more digitised workforce. All-inclusive packages now replacing traditional expatriate remuneration and nationality pay gaps are reducing, according to a new survey. How salaries are structured and who is securing the best deal is changing in the UAE. The average age of the UAE workforce is now under 30 years of age. Packages are becoming all-inclusive, meaning the days of highly inflated salaries, subsidies to cover living costs are a thing of the past. This is according to the 2018-2019 salary survey and review from Gulf Recruiter and Training Institute Nadia Global. The company predicts salary increases of 3.5% to 5% in 2019, says that pay gaps between different nationalities are also diminishing. So we're seeing the age of the workforce come down. We're seeing the gap between the haves and the have-nots, nationality-driven, being reduced as well, and a lot more parity when it comes to sales. And I wonder whether that's been reflected in the rental market.
That's a good question, Tom. But just going back to the packages, do you mean that, so instead of everything being separate, like, you know, it's all being lumped together instead?
There used to be, times were when it was called a hardship posting, wasn't it? And you used to get benefits. So you get schooling, you'd get housing,
right,
you'd get whatever. Now it seems to be a lot more digitised in terms of the fact that you are given
just one given ballpark
a package.
Figure.
That's it.
And
you're
that's
given
it.
That. You work yourself out.
And
you work out your rent.
Use...
You work out whatever.
Right. So then it's your responsibility to make sure that you're taking care of everything, such as school fees, accommodation, everything. It's just this is your lump sum.
Completely that, yeah. So we're seeing artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data analytics, blockchains, all these things, all these words you don't really understand, impacting on A, the way we're getting paid, but B, the way that our salaries are being devised at the moment. So you won't have the sort of segments that we used to have in the past because salaries are having to evolve with times at the moment. I just wonder whether rents have to do the same because they seem to be a little set in their ways when it comes to rents.
Yeah, especially, but then, yeah, because you'll have rent, but then you'll have all those little sub, depending on where you live or certain fees that you need to pay on top of that, which isn't accounted for. It would be nicer if it was just, like you were saying, just one lump sum and you didn't have any hidden costs.
We talk about the relation between the two. One question being asked in this particular article is, are lower rental rates affecting salaries? And the answer to that is yes, they are. Typically when employers budget salaries, they follow a 60-30-10 ratio, where 60% is your salary, 30% is your housing allowance, 10% is your transportation allowance. Back in 2007, constant increase in rental rates, which had a significant impact on employer salary expectations. There was an expectation that due to a rising rental market, employers should factor in those higher costs. However, over the last decade, over the last 10 years, been a shift towards more of an all-inclusive market rate, and hence the remuneration has been offered in line with the current market rate. So times have changed when it comes to the rental market. Salaries are being recognised as such. Is that something you're seeing at the moment from your employers? Please do send your thoughts through to us on 4001. We'll have more from Serena, from Zina and Thomasina in just a few moments' time. You're listening to Dubai Eye 3.8.
Join the conversation by text, by phone and online.
It's Serena, Zina and Thomasina here in studio with you. This is The Agenda, final show of the week. Weekend is just around the corner. What are you doing for the weekend? Feel free to share your thoughts with us. If you would like to share your opinions, text them now, 4001. Get online at Dubai Eye 103.8 FM. You're paying less rent now than you did last year? should be, surely. According to a new survey from Yalla Compare, that's the case for a quarter of UAE residents. However, more than 35% said they're paying more now than a year ago. We've been talking and hearing from tenants. We've also been hearing from landlords as well. Keep your thoughts coming into us. Texts on 4001Z.
Yeah, we've got a few texts coming in. I got an 8% discount compared to last year. That's from Rakesh, who lives in Alcoz. There's another one who said, every time you move, you have to pay the movers and pay the agents. So you have to look at how much you save from new rental prices. Another texter said, salary surveys. Oh, this is about the salary survey that you just mentioned. Salary surveys in the region always misleading, mostly relevant to multinational firms, not local and Asian entrepreneurs who look to employ cheap labor. Another text, Ty Tom, if rents drop through the floor, owners won't pay service on time, equals no building.
Cheers, Ian. Thank you for that one. Keep your thoughts coming in. 4001. We're talking rents here with Serena and all the team from the Aero News Centre. To that end, let's get some of the thoughts from listeners. Let's go to the line two and say good morning to Amy calling from Sakim. Hey, Amy.
Hi.
How's your rent looking in 2019?
Well, apparently, I'll believe it when I see it, we're going to get a refund on when the last check is cashed.
Okay.
So that will be good. And that will bring everyone on our compound onto the same level. But, you know, it's totally on her word. If she doesn't do it, then...
And this is down to the landlord or the owner, is it?
Yeah, the owner, the landlady.
In terms of the way things have moved in recent times, are you seeing that you're getting sort of more sway at the moment, more influence on what you expect to pay?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely when in the area, and there are, you know, in Umskeem and this whole area, there are obviously big compounds. We're actually on a small compound, but the fact is that you've got everyone paying different rents on the same compound, so that every time someone new comes in and negotiates a, you know, better, different rent, then everyone else obviously tries to get further down and down and down.
See, I think that does compound the problem, doesn't it? Because people talk and they compare, and well within their rights to do exactly that. And there is nothing worse if you've got an exactly the same villa in terms of layouts and space, etc., and you're paying different prices as to when you moved in. It becomes difficult.
Exactly. And the thing is that all the streets have at least four villas available for rent. So you can pick and choose. And the other thing that's going on, I think, in this area is that you've got new compounds being built that don't have a lot of the maintenance issues as some of the old compounds. So if you are going to pay more money for a four-bed villa or five-bed villa, you can get one with a spanking new kitchen and bathroom. So why would you hang around in an old one which has, you know, horrible pink, you know, coral bathrooms or whatever. Yeah.
No, exactly. If you're going to pay for it, you might as well demand that there are those upgrades, as you say, not just aesthetically, but also if it is an older villa, then one's assuming that the heating system or the cooling system, more to the point, and the water system is something that needs to be looked at to make sure that you're paying the right amounts for
exactly.
the services.
So my theory is that if you're doing this to save money, then why not downsize?
Yeah.
Why not go for something smaller, which is a lot cheaper? And that means that you're getting the saving. So going back to that whole moving cost thing, like you can actually move quite cheaply. And so if we were to move one street over, we could save 60,000 dirhams. We'd lose one bedroom for sure, but we'd have probably the same age villa. It would have decent facilities. And to move one street, I don't think would be hugely expensive because you're, you know...
Could do it over the weekend.
With bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, the whole thing was cheaper diwa anyway because you're getting the saving from the rent and that, obviously 5% of that, and all the water fees and cooling. I think if you're doing this to save money, you can actually properly save money.
Difficult to ignore, isn't it, surely?
Yeah, exactly.
Amy, good on you. I hope you have a nice weekend. Thanks so much indeed for your thoughts this morning. That was Amy and Sakim at the moment. What about those opinions? Do they ring true with you? Double Z is trying to stay on top of a torrent of text messages that are coming in at the moment. That's the collective noun from now on.
I know. Another point to add to the rent debate is when you move to a more expensive area, your cost of day-to-day living, like groceries, definitely goes up. Like, I know for sure that in an area like the Springs or the Greens or the Marina, the day-to-day cost of groceries is at least 10 to 20% higher than areas like Karama, Bordubai, and Dera. And that is true. Based on personal experience, I sometimes venture out of my neighborhood to do my groceries and my shopping because definitely cheaper.
Look at you, you old...
I've got an opinion.
I'll save it. Great. And this is the place to share your opinions. That's what it's all about. The agenda is about opinions. Listen, there are plenty of stories doing the rounds at the moment. We're going to continue this conversation with regards to rents and salaries and parity between the two. Do rents need to be more digitised than salaries apparently are becoming at the moment? With the majority of the workforce now here in the UAE under 30 years of age and all-inclusive packages a thing of the past, what impact is that having on the rental market at the moment? Is that putting more pressure on villas as the market gets younger? People share apartments. People are having professional salaries. Young professionals moving into the city looking for smaller, more manageable living spaces. So that's one discussion going on. Let's get on to the Pope on tour because he's in town from Sunday. Sunday? Let's go to our papal
attaché. Yeah, apparently
attaché.
He lands on Sunday.
Okay, in the Pope plane. So the Popemobile will be on the ground. The Pope plane will touch down on Sunday. And what more do we know? Serena Kelly.
It's okay. It's going to be a holiday if you have a ticket for the Pope's Mass in Abu Dhabi next week. Yes. Officials, the Ministry of Human Resources and Emiratization, made the decision to give private sector workers the chance to participate in this one-off event. So it's also enforcing their support of it being, you know, the year of tolerance and their dedication to acknowledging interfaith dialogue. Pope Francis, as you said, Tom, will be touching down at Abu Dhabi February the 3rd for the first visit by a pontiff to the Arabian Gulf. We do have a clip from Dr. Hanif Hassan Ali Al-Qassam. He's the chairman of the Geneva Centre for Human Rights, and he shared his thoughts ahead of the event.
The UAE represents a great example in this part of the world and in the world in general. It's a hub for peace, for tolerance, and people live in peace and harmony together. And it's a good example to be applied in other parts of the world.
We're going to talk counting calories, going to talk moral education, the moral maze in just a few moments' time. Before that, though, just on the Pope on tour here in the UAE, we know it's going to have a knock-on effect for the roads, specifically down in Abu Dhabi. But look at the numbers. There's 1,000 buses leaving Dubai, transferring those that are going down for the papal mass. There's 1,000 buses leaving Dubai, which in itself is going to be an extraordinary spectacle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be something like it's going to be...
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine imagine if they all left at the same time?
Yeah, I know.
That's just like, what's that great for? We got ourselves a convoy. Big duck, this is a rubber duck. We got ourselves a convoy.
It's a papal bus race. You know who's going to be on one of those buses?
Go on.
Melania and her kids.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, you are no longer our papal attaché, Melania. That
hey.
Is over to you. You are now. So that's interesting. Maybe we can convince Melania. Melania doesn't say anything on air. She says lots behind the scenes, but we might try and get her on. Because what interests me is how do you have a public holiday if you've got a ticket for a public holiday? What about all those that haven't got a ticket don't get a public holiday, but those that do have got a public holiday? How does that work?
They're basically excused from work or school because, you know, they're going to see the Pope.
Yeah, so if you are a ticket holder, that is.
To get free parking?
Not if you're on the bus.
It's a public holiday.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Yeah. I see what you mean. Probably not. But...
A day in lieu?
Are you going to try to print out a counterfeit ticket or something?
No, I'm not. Of course I'm not. Well, I'm not going anywhere like that. I want to know the sort of the how it works.
Yeah, so it's a weekday. It's being Tuesday.
So you get it's basically a day in lieu. You're
yes,
not getting you're not
exactly.
getting penalised for you, it.
Yeah, exactly that. You do not have to take it as annual leave. It is anybody who's got a ticket that's going to attend, you officially are getting the day off.
So, to that end, and hating to play devil's advocate on anything like, especially on an occasion like this, but if you are one of those lucky people with one of those tickets, have you had any problems convincing your employer that it is a public holiday? Are they recognising it? If they're not, if they're causing problems, let us know. Do let us know. We might be able to help. Let's go over to the text messages and see what people are saying. Zina Zalamea.
Why are you using that voice?
Just treading on eggshells.
Okay, on to the text messages. About rents, better deal doesn't mean better landlord. I've been in my place for 9 years. Moved in March 2018, landlord very accommodating with 12 checks, makes life much easier, less stress, and also rent reduction. Another one from Maggie in JLT. Appreciate your country song rendition of Convoy. What time are buses going? I'll watch from my window. Maggie, well, this is from Milani, and she's going to Abu Dhabi. She's going to be leaving on Monday evening, either at 10 or 11 p.m. And those coming from within Abu Dhabi will leave at 1 a.m. And basically all security checks should be finished by 8 a.m. in time for the mass at 10:30.
Imagine, it's going to be some sing-songs on those buses, isn't there, eh? On the way down there. Right old sing-songs. Sorry, Serena.
That's all right. It's okay. It's just me.
It's all right. Let's just get on to a couple of other stories before we go to the news at 11 o'clock. Can we do calories first? Is that okay? Because we've got a recommendation about calories. This is something I'm going to ask Andre about a little later on. But maybe if you could just set the scene for us. What's the latest initiative?
Well, so basically, legal experts, they're recommending that regulations be introduced for restaurants, cafes and all other eateries in the Emirates to display ingredients and calorie counts on menus. We do have a clip from Sunil Thacker, senior partner at STA law firm. He explains more.
People will realize what's inside their food and what kind of vitamins or nutrients would that food provide. I think they would have a more well-informed choice and they would exercise some degree of care in choosing the right food.
Not sure if I agree with this one, only because, you know, there is a reason why food in restaurants tastes so good. It's because it's not good for you.
That's not true.
It's not true. I mean, I know that we've got this trend of, the, you know, some very healthy restaurants, things like that. But if you are that concerned about your calorie counting, and if you are that concerned about living a virtuous, healthy life, then you take control yourself. You prepare your food. You know what you're putting into your body rather than give it to a kitchen. I've worked in kitchens. I know what goes on. I know what happens to the butter that's left in ramekins that you collect from tables and things like that. Oh. It's used as part of the cooking fats in other foods.
Okay,
that's what happens.
You need to look at the bigger picture here because we have one of the highest rates of diabetes in the world. So my mum is diabetic and when we go to a restaurant, she is extremely conscious of what food she is ordering. If it says there in black and white the sugar and carb content of the food that she's ordering, it would make her decision process so much easier and she would feel it would be that sense of relief saying, I'm ordering something that's not going to send my sugar levels up the, you know, skyrocket high. Mm. And then I'm going to be panicking for the rest of the day in regards to my glucose levels. So, but it's not just that. It can range from everything. Like, you know, if I'm ordering food for my kids, I look at the ingredients. I'm one of those parents. I check the sodium content of crackers and things like that when I'm purchasing things in the supermarket. I would like to know how much salt is in the chicken that I've just ordered for my kid or the salad that I'm ordering. It goes beyond the idea of like, yep, food tastes good, so we should be allowed to eat it in, you know, that ignorance is bliss, that type of thing.
I just don't know how many restaurants would be
she's definitely
honest
got a point.
About it.
And a lot of people are on different diets these days, you know. So some people are, and it's a way of life for them, vegans. And some
keto.
Keto.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Blood type diet. So, yeah.
Seafood.
Yeah. Seafood diet. That's Marcus' diet.
Yeah, seafood and eat it. Thank you very much indeed to all of you for your thoughts. Thanks to you as well, Serena. Quick question for you before you go as well, because this is just something I want to run throughout the show. Another story that you were following up on is this this new moral education thing.
The exam.
Yeah.
Yep. So students in the UAE, they're going to be able to sit the first moral education exam this year. There has been talk about this, and so it is happening. The assessment, it's going to be tested and piloted across 70 public and private schools across the Emirates. 10,000 students, they're going to sit a 45-minute exam. And the UAE is the first country in the world to implement an evaluation system like this for how education impacts moral values. So it's going to be measuring the effectiveness of teaching good character and values. We're talking grades 3, 5, 7 and 9, I believe. So from the ages of 7 years old and onwards.
Your moral compass at school. Interesting. How did you learn about morality, morals and ethics at school? Did that come through your religious instruction, wherever you might have gone to school in the first place? Did you have social science classes that dealt with that? Given the fact that schools are now looking at this as a whole new subject, if you like, moral values and the sitting of a moral values exam, is that something that you think has a place in a curriculum? Did you have anything similar or not?
We had a theology class and social studies. So all of those moral...
Well, not really. I mean, I kind of looked to my parents, you know, for that kind of guidance. But then, have you met my folks?
No, exactly. This is no slight on yours. It's just like, wow, if I'd done that to mine as well, who knows where I'd be?
But it's like, I mean, it's also a bit of common sense in schools, I suppose. You know, it's just things that are passed down from one another. And then you've got like, you know, fables, you know, just it's got a message at the end of a story. I suppose that's the way schools would introduce certain guidelines of being nice to one another.
So when I read this story, I did a little research before the show because I've been here for hours. I had a look at some of the example questions that you might be asked in a moral values exam. This is a genuine question from a moral values exam. And I'm assuming this is what, for 16, 17, maybe 15, maybe GCSE, you could probably sit one, probably A-level as well, who knows. Would you break the law to save a loved one? Wow.
That's kind of deep.
Drop that on my lap at 11 o'clock on a Thursday.
Oh my gosh. That is so heavy.
But to that end, would you? Would you break the law to save a loved one? I'm not going to put Serena and Zena.
Her name, yeah.
I didn't remember your name. It's just...
Depends what kind of law you're breaking, isn't it?
Well, yes, that's what Brandy said a little earlier on. But if you've got an answer to that one, feel free to send your thoughts through to us on 4001. Serena Kelly, got to go to your news bulletin in just a few moments' time. So thank you very much indeed for your
Anytime.
Input. Our thanks to ARN News Centre. Thanks very much indeed to you, Zena. So it's Serena and Zena show.
Yeah. It's also Tom Urquina's show.
Thank you very much indeed. And thanks to Maggie as well. Maggie's going to keep her eyes out for the convoy out there. This one's just for you, Maggie.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, love machine. Aw, 10-4. 10, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Taco Town. Yeah, we definitely got us the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a con.
Want us to call you back?
Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye 103.8 app.
So certainly calorie counting is one of the topics that has got people talking here this morning. Legal experts are recommending that regulations be introduced for restaurants, cafes and all other eateries in the UAE to display ingredients and calorie counts on menus. Sunil Thacker is the senior partner at STA Law Firm, explains more.
People will realize what's inside their food and what kind of vitamins or nutrients would that food provide. I think they would have a more well-informed choice and they would exercise some degree of care in choosing the right food.
All good and well, and given the fact that important steps have been taken to reduce diabetes in recent years, obesity remains a major threat, with one in every three school children either overweight or obese. To that end, though, restaurants. When we go to restaurants, do we hope, do we think, do we know, do we trust them to provide us on a plate what we expect to be provided in terms of calorie count? If a restaurant were to put a calorie count with a meal, is that something you'd adhere to? If so, then feel free to share your thoughts with us on that. Or do we just go to restaurants knowing that the reason that that plate of pasta tastes that much better in a restaurant than it does in when you try and cook it at home is because they use lashings of butter, they use more salt, they use more flavour, and that's why it tastes better. Out of sight, out of mind, it tastes better. But when you are charged to do the same thing within your own home, you're a little more cautious because you know that it's not that good for you. That's the point that I'm making there, and I'm not sure whether calorie counts would have much of a difference.
Yeah, I know. And as you pointed out earlier, it's a personal responsibility. Why should restaurants help you calorie count? Just maybe, you know, dine out once a week instead of three times a week.
Most food in the restaurant contain high sodium, says one of our listeners, texting on 4001. Too much glucose syrup is used for puddings and desserts. It's very unhealthy for sure. Most are like that, unfortunately. But isn't that why we go to them? Do keep your thoughts coming through on that. Faisal has been in touch as well. So if someone is aware they have diabetes, wouldn't they already know what they are putting in their body, says Faisal. Thank you for that one as well. Fours and zeros and ones. Those are where the text messages are coming from, but equally you can have your say in a number of other areas.
Yeah, we're also trying to call some people who've texted in, so please pick up and we'd like to hear from you on air.
Right, what else is going on here on the show? Well, one of the things that is going on is the moral maze. Now, this goes back to a story that the ARN News team are working up for us at the moment with regards to moral, well, basically sort of moral exams. The proposal is, Zina Zellermayer, that students, many students here, upward of 75,000, will be asked to sit moral exams.
Mm-hmm.
The question, therefore, is where do you get your moral education from? Do you think this is a good addition to the curriculum? If so, then feel free to share your thoughts with us. To that end, we've come up with a couple of questions. Or we came up with one specific question, which is an actual question posed in a moral value exam. The question is, would you break the law to save a loved one? Is that something that you could come to a conclusion about? Is it something that you could answer? Certainly been asking that question of a number of, well, we've been asking that question of our listeners this morning. And a few of you have been in touch with us on that particular subject. Most people suggesting that it has to do with the law that you're asked to break. And that was certainly the opinion of the Business Breakfast team a little earlier on. If it's a minimal law, like parking in the wrong parking space in order to get a loved one to the medical attention they need, then maybe that's a law you would break. In order to go any further than that, then obviously that's when the morality kicks in.
You wouldn't commit an actual crime to save a loved one, right?
Why not? If it was a question of saving a loved one,
do you know what? If I were faced with these questions, I'm not sure I would answer them honestly, especially in a classroom setting, and especially if my grades or the school's reputation would depend on it.
And if you're talking about committing an actual crime, you know, if a loved one is in urgent need of medical attention or some of that, and you can't afford it, and the only way you can afford it is by getting the funds through an illegal way, is that something you would consider? Could you be pushed to that edge morally and ethically where somebody was willing to give you the money, or you would have the money in hand, given the fact that you knew it came from an unsound source? Is that something you would take on board?
Oh, that is so hard.
Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but these are the questions that are being posed in the moral exams. And the question that we are asking you, is it something you think would be beneficial to students, given the fact that we are in an economy, in an environment where things move so quickly at the moment? Is there a place for ethical questions? Is there a place for codes of morality? Keep your thoughts coming in. Other suggestions of moral questions. This has come through from John, who's texted us on 4001, saying other questions that I've been asked in the past: should people be forced to carry donor cards? Should I cheat on my wife? Is it all right if she never finds out? Would it be permissible to torture one person to obtain the happiness of many others? Why should I respect the intellectual rights of others? And why shouldn't I just throw my rubbish in the street? All moral maze questions that have been posed in former exams before. So asking children of a certain age, 15, 16, 17, to answer these sort of questions really does make you think. You know, we're struggling to come up with any sort of answer here in studio, and we've had many years to consider these moral conundrums. I think it can only be a good thing.
Well, I would be frightened for my children if they had to answer these questions. These are not the things we usually talk about at the dinner table, so, you know.
But why not? Why shouldn't we?
I'm not sure. Maybe we should start talking to them about, you know,
moral
values and stuff.
I'll tell you why this is, sorry to cut in there, but one of the reasons that I feel that it's a good idea is exactly for that dinner table conversation where, give you an example of the Urquhart household, where we were doing homework the other day. Mm-hmm. And one of my children turned around and we had a little sort of conundrum as one of the questions for homework. And one of my children turned around and said, it doesn't matter, I'll just check it out on Google. So there is this de facto go-to now, which is rather than think through a problem yourself, mm-hmm. because if you can't, you know, if it's not there readily available, if you don't know the answer, there is going to be a source where you can go to give you an answer or a version of that answer, despite the fact that you've not actually thought it through.
Gives them a sense of conscience, you're right. I don't know, it's quite a difficult conversation given the questions that he posed.
Okay, I'll move on. I think Zina is still formulating her ideas with regards to our moral maze here this morning. Let's just work through some of the calls that are coming through to you, to some of the text messages that are coming through to us on a variety of subjects, a smorgasbord of subjects this Thursday morning. Would love to get yours as well. Alistair's asking, are there any Pope tickets left? Ordinarily, I would go to our official papal attaché. Is, of course, Zina Zalamea, but she's been sacked from that role in the last 24 hours.
What?
Yeah, we've handed it over to Milani because she's
actually... I've not been notified.
No, you don't need to be.
I've got the answer to that question.
What is the answer?
Milani, no. I'll answer it myself. Okay. All those who are on visit visas and those who missed the Paris registration will also be considered. So kindly wait for the updates on your parish's website. See?
Okay. So, I mean, nominally, there are no Pope tickets left. You can't walk into Virgin Megastore and buy a couple of tickets over the counter. These are tickets that were shared out to parishes, and then it was down to the parish to share them out to the congregation. Is that right?
Exactly, and you had to register beforehand.
But if you haven't heard, if you've got a ticket yet, that doesn't mean that you've not, because parishes are saying, just hold.
Yeah, you still have a chance, but yeah. The updates will be on the parish's websites across the UAE.
That's one of the conversations we're having this morning on all things papal visit. We've also been talking about restaurants this morning. A suggestion that restaurants will now have to do more calorie counting and post it on their menus, which is great. Look, you know, if I go into a healthy restaurant or a so-called healthy restaurant, talking of healthy restaurants, healthy man over there, if I have to do that, then I expect to see calorie counting. I expect to see that sort of approach. But if I go into a high-end restaurant that is serving Michelin star cuisine, I don't want to be seeing calories on calorie counts on those sort of dishes. It sort of takes away from the experience. So that's one of the elements there. Shah's been in touch as well, saying the poor restaurants are already suffering under the recession economy, and to add more expense on their heads is really unfair, because to make calorie counts, they'll need to get home economists and someone else to come into the picture, and they'll need to print new menus as well. Can't we not expect people to just be disciplined about their eating habits? Shah, appreciate that one. Thank you very much indeed for those. We'll be talking moral conundrums as well. We'll get back to those in just a few moments' time. Some interesting moral questions coming through from listeners this morning. Keep your thoughts coming through on 4001. Alder's been in touch saying, yeah, I had to answer an exam question like that in the past. Alder saying, the question was along the lines, are there any times or circumstances where lying, stealing, otherwise is justified? Interesting. How did you go about answering it? Well, do let us know your thoughts on that. Are you listening to The Agenda here on Dubai Eye 103.8?
He said, she said, why don't you?
Call The Agenda on 04 871 5500 and join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
4001 is the number to get in touch with us. Let's go to the lines now and speak to Brenda, who joins us live on the line. Good morning to you, Brenda.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Really appreciate you taking time to speak to us here this morning live on The Agenda. Share your thoughts with us this Thursday morning.
Okay. First of all, the topic really does present a conundrum, really. Mm. It's a quagmire, you know, because if you love someone, especially your spouse or your children,
I think that many people come very close to committing a crime.
Yes.
But I think I would be unlikely to follow through. I'd probably like get to the edge of the cliff and then step back, you know, so to speak.
It's interesting because when you look at the specifics of the question itself, and this was the question that was being posed about, would you break the law to save a loved one? It's unfair in many ways, isn't it, Brenda, to ask a question like that because no one really knows what your reactions would be unless you were put in that awful situation.
Exactly, because I think most of us would like to think that we would not commit a crime. I certainly would. I had a scenario recently, about a year or so ago, related to getting a VPN. I was like, oh, no, I can't get a VPN. We have a law here in Dubai about that. Mm. But that didn't, that had nothing to do with any of my loved ones being harmed in any way. But I think that it's unfair, certainly, to ask a student about that on a test. You're not going to get an honest answer.
To that end, though, and moving away from the specifics of the question, just the nature of that question, forcing a student in their formative years to consider the sort of background of a question, maybe not the specifics of, but to think a little deeper, is there anything wrong with that?
That particular question, yes, I believe that there is something wrong with that question.
With that particular question, yeah, but in terms of questions like that, immature. I agree. But the encouragement of students to think a bit deeper about their answers along those lines, not specifically for that question, for other similar questions, is that something that should be encouraged in this day and age?
I think these things should happen at home.
Okay.
I think this is for the family.
Good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, that's
for school.
That's interesting because that suggests that the moral compass is more centered at home and should be more centered at home rather than implying on teachers to guide that moral compass.
Exactly. Yes.
Nice point. Yes, well made. Well done to you, Brenda.
For the family.
Brenda, really nice to talk to you. Have yourself a lovely weekend. It's great chatting with you.
Thanks. You too.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.